our good pal Mike is on the line today on a Friday show just ahead of the college football playoff. Mike, as always, a pleasure to be speaking with you. Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm. I want to talk some Gopher transfers before we get into the college football playoff. Most in particular, this quarterback out of Georgia Tech, Pyron, I believe is his last name, Zach Pyron, if I'm not mistaken. Is this a guy that they're expecting to come in and compete for the job right away?
Yeah, I think that's exactly how I'd phrase it, is that he'll compete. And this is not a situation like last year where the second Max Brosmer committed, he was the starter. There was no competition. You know, Fleck has talked about that before, that he has not done that very often in his career at any position in terms of you recruit a guy, whether it's through the portal or at the high school level. It's always about you have to earn the spot. But they were in a unique spot last year with Kelly McManus leaving and nobody. And this is not unique to the Gophers. Quarterbacks that are buried on the depth chart want to go find new places. And so the Gophers had not had a lot of depth. They had a true freshman coming in, and that was about it in Drake Lindsey. So last year it was a slam dunk, no problem. This year, that's not the case. They have the redshirt freshman now, Drake Lindsey, who was basically attached at the hip to Brosmer this year. I would say, Jake, personally, I think he's the slight favorite. I mean, I think you'd have to say weird stuff would have to happen, or Pyron would have to just blow him away for Drake Lindsey not to start, because they got a year of in-person look at him through practices. He was in a couple of games. They love him. They worked hard to keep him committed. After he had committed, he had such a great senior year. There were others, including his home state, Arkansas Razorbacks, who had offered late, and they fended everybody off. So with all of that, I think he's the favorite. But they also don't want to just hand a guy a job, and also they don't want to be then just empty. They need someone that they feel like, if there's injuries or whatever else, they can push each other. And so this kid from Georgia Tech was not a starter, and he falls in that category that I talked about before. He's looking to play. Georgia Tech has a bona fide starter, and I think he's going to be one of those guys that will be looked upon, talking about the Georgia Tech starter for next year, he'll be looked upon as maybe a preseason kind of all ACC type kid. So the kid from Georgia Tech probably looks at Minnesota and says, the coaches have told me I got a chance to start. I got a chance to compete. I'm going up against a redshirt freshman. I'm a four-star recruit, and maybe I got a shot. So I think that's the situation.
What about any of the other transfers that this team has gotten? They've lost a couple. They've gained a couple. Does anyone stand out? Drew Biber, the tight end from Purdue. There's a lot of mid-major guys that have come in. They've gotten four running backs, for goodness sakes. Cole Cabana out of Michigan. There's Cameron Davis out of Washington. Javon Tracy, the wide receiver out of Miami of Ohio. Does anyone stand out to you where you say, I'm intrigued by this guy, I'm looking forward to him getting on the field next year?
Yep. I think Tracy certainly is a guy that they will need. I mean, look, they have some spots of need. They need cornerback help. That's defensive back, cornerback help. They need receiver help. And they need some offensive line help. And they've addressed that in a couple of different areas and some recruiting on the transfer portal. I believe this will be the third straight year that the Gophers end up a net positive in the transfer portal, which is not always the case for teams where they're going to end up with more contribution than what walks out the door. The big hit certainly was Phillip Daniels, the starting right tackle for Minnesota. Ohio State came knocking at his door, and he's from Cincinnati, and that's tough to turn down. I'm sure there was a fairly decent payday for him, and there's a chance for him to start for Ohio State, so you can't blame him, but it really does put Minnesota in a bit of a lurch. I think they were looking at him as the heir apparent to Ariante Ursary at left tackle. I think they were going to move him there. So now they got to find that. They've got a couple of offensive line transfers. I do think they like the depth, so there's going to be some kids that are playing that have not played yet that they feel comfortable in. Now they just need to play. But Tracy's the big one. I think the running back transfer, and I don't have the list in front of me, and I've certainly not memorized any of the names yet. The running back transfer from Marshall, who I don't know his name off
AJ
top of my
Turner.
Head.
I got
Thank you.
AJ Turner.
I think he's first-team All-Mac as well, or second-team All-Mac. He had like 17 runs of 15 yards or more last year. And the Gophers have had a mixed return on MAC recruits, transfers. Some have been good, some have been okay, some have been non-impactful, and I think the other Big Ten teams probably see that as well. But those two guys, Tracy and Turner, to me, look, first-team All-MAC, I mean, those that means you got NFL potential. Mm-hmm. You know, like the high-end players in that league have a chance to make the NFL. I'm not saying they're going to be all pros or even starters, mm-hmm. but they have a chance. And so you need to fill your roster with those kind of guys. So those are the two that I would certainly look at. There's a defensive back transfer. I still don't think they're done recruiting defensive backs. They absolutely need to recruit at least one starting cornerback, as they have each of the past 2 years through the portal. And I don't think they're done. They've got some visits yet. And then remember, there's also the transfer portal. The window opens after spring ball. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's likely that a couple of people on the team will leave, because they see the writing on the wall, and certainly other places will have guys have that, and the Gophers can probably go dip into the market. It may be not until after spring ball that they find one of their starting offensive linemen, but we shall see.
You talk about being net positive, and I think that's really impressive for the Gophers. And right now, according to 247 Sports, they got a top 10 transfer class, whatever the hell that means. I don't really take a lot of stock into that. But you look at Wisconsin, they've gotten 12 transfers. They've lost 22 kids. So I think this net positive thing, I really think we shouldn't be taking advantage or being ungrateful about how impressive that is for PJ Fleck to be able to do. We're speaking with Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm. I do want to switch gears to the college football playoff. I was going to ask you a question about how absurd this transfer window is while we're going through bowl games, but we could probably talk about that for 2 hours. Looking at the playoff, Mike, let's start with Notre Dame and Indiana tonight. Do you think Indiana has a chance to be the Cinderella team that we've all sort of looked at them as throughout the course of this season?
That's a good question. I don't think they'll win the game. But if they do, I guess I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, how in the world did that happen? We'll have to watch tonight. Notre Dame is certainly beatable. Now, they've been really mm-hmm. good outside of that absolute clunker they laid with Northern Illinois. They pretty well handled their business. So, and they knew they had to, right? Because that mm-hmm. was a bad, bad loss. There would be some years where they may not make the playoffs with that loss on their resume, but enough teams out of the SEC lost enough games that basically, pushed Notre Dame in. And they were in, obviously, comfortably, they would. Had they been in a conference, as it were, they may have gotten a bye, but they'll never be able to get the bye as long as they're an independent based on the current rules as they stack up. But I'm excited about this game. This is kind of one of those cool in-state games. They've played each other before. I have an aunt and an uncle who live in Fort Wayne. They've lived there forever. And my uncle was, when he's retired now, but when he was working, he sold sporting goods for Russell Athletics. Remember Russell Athletics?
Oh, yeah.
And back in the 80s and 90s, he called on college football and basketball teams. He would sell them their sweats and their warm-ups and sometimes their tennis shoes and different things. And so he was in Fort Wayne for that job. And he was always joking about the fact that people in Indiana, their two favorite teams are the Indiana Hoosiers in basketball and Notre Dame in football. In other words, Hoosier fans would have season tickets to Notre Dame football games and then, of course, their own basketball games. And Notre Dame football fans would then have season tickets to Indiana games because Indiana football was no good and Notre Dame basketball was good but not great. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that was still the case, but I always got a kick out of it. And I thought of that when these two teams got matched up, that their campuses can't be more than two and a half mm-hmm. hours apart. I'm excited. There's going to be, I would think, a huge rating on this game tonight. I would think the TV ratings are going to be off the chart. And that's what the whole design of the 12-team playoff is about. I kind of pulling for the Big Ten, right? I'd like to see Indiana get the win in this one. I don't think they will. I do think Notre Dame's a legitimate national title contender. I mean, they have taken care of business. We'll see. But Indiana's not going to be scared. Their coach will not allow that. He is a brazen son of a gun. I'll give him credit for that. And he's going to go in there expecting that team to win. So we'll see if they got a shot.
My philosophy here, Mike, is it doesn't have to be the Big Ten, but anyone but the SEC. That's how I'm rocking with this 12-team playoff. Yeah. I asked you not too long ago who you thought was going to win, and you said Ohio State. And I can't remember if that was before or after the Michigan game. But do you still think Ohio State has the chops to win this whole thing?
Well, a couple of things. Yes, certainly. I still think they have probably the most talented team in the country. So that immediately puts them in contention, right? They obviously have had some weird things go awry. They haven't played great in a couple of wins, and obviously they didn't play well at all in the Michigan loss. And on top of it, they've got a tough path. Like, mm-hmm. Tennessee is not a slouch. Tennessee could certainly win that game tomorrow. And then the winner of that game gets Oregon, which is, I would say that I think the 12-team playoff is awesome. I think we're going to see great ratings. People are going to be interested. Mm-hmm. I think if there's one area maybe it could be improved is, to me, the body of work of the regular season has to be rewarded more than it has been. Like, I get the rule was written the top four conference champions get the bye. And I'm in agreement with that. But I think if we're going to do that, then we have to reseed. We have to reseed. We can't bracket this thing. We just can't. I mean, Oregon is the number one team. They earn the number one seed, and their reward is to get either Ohio State or Tennessee.
Right.
Meanwhile, you look at Boise State, they're going to get the winner, I believe, of Penn State and SMU.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not right. And look, who knows who wins? I mean, they all are good teams. They're the 12 best teams in the country, roughly. I know there's some give or take, SMU's not in the top 12. I guess they are in the top 12.
Now
right?
They are,
because they had to get in the at-large. But anyway, point being, I think they need to reseed. That's not fair to Oregon for laying down the best season of anybody. And then you get Ohio State, the most talented team, or Tennessee, who's maybe the most expensive roster in the country with NIL. And meanwhile, Boise State and Arizona State, they get the winner of another game that doesn't include either Ohio State or Tennessee. So I just think they got to look at that part of it. It's certainly going to be intriguing. Maybe they want to keep it true to bracket so that a bunch of us will put together an office pool and create more interest. I don't know, but I would look at, because of the funkiness of the automatic buys, and I like that idea. I think, look, if you're a conference champion, the top four get in, beautiful. But I also think then if that's the case, they got to make some concessions and not make it a true bracket, in my opinion.
Understandable. 2 minutes for you, Mike. I know that's hard for you to answer this in 2 minutes, but opening round games, I'm convinced that one underdog is going to win. Who do you think the most likely underdog is out of these opening round games to make a run in this college football playoff?
Yeah, that's a hard question. I think all four favorites will win.
Am I crazy? Sorry for interrupting. Am I crazy for thinking SMU's got a chance to beat Penn State here on Saturday?
Well, I don't think anything's crazy. I mean, you know, these all teams are all great, but I don't think so. I mean, I don't think you're crazy, but two, and if SMU would win it, that to me that'd be probably the biggest of the upsets. I think on paper, Texas is the biggest favorite, right?
Yep.
They're an 11.5-point favorite on Clemson, and then I think Penn State's the next biggest favorite. So I think the favorites will all win and we'll move on. If I had to pick one. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I don't know. I think Tennessee maybe.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Now it's supposed to be like 10 degrees in Columbus tomorrow, and Tennessee is in the South, but I don't think it's in the deep enough South that that's going to be a huge factor. Like if that was Florida State or Miami, I think that could be a factor, but. Look, a lot of those Ohio State players are from the deep South and Florida and those things, so I don't think that's going to be a huge advantage. I've always wanted that to be, like, let's say a Wisconsin or a Minnesota or a Michigan, you know, host LSU. Let's see how that goes, you know, or USC, even in conference play. At some point, the Big Ten has to send USC or UCLA to Michigan or Wisconsin or Minnesota to play a cold, a frickin' cold, you know, 5-degree day in late November. They probably never will, but I think that'd be awesome. But I'll say Tennessee, and I think that's probably the closest to the point spreads, right, amongst those four. So
yeah, they're all at seven. It's Indiana, Notre Dame, and Tennessee and Ohio State. They're both at seven right now. I think Ohio State just jumped up to 7.5. But I like the pick, Mike. I think that game's going to come down to whether Nico Lemileva or Will Howard plays better. It's going to be a decisive one between the quarterbacks there. But I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. Should be a fun weekend. I'm looking forward to talking with you in 2 weeks from now. We'll take the week off next week, and then we'll get us ready for the Gopher Bowl game coming up on January 3rd. That's Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers. As always, Mike, appreciate the time. Love having you on.
You got it, Jake. Thank you. Always appreciate it.